The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our author event series, recorded live at the Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, the Central Library Expansion Project, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
So this talk focuses on the notion of beauty as power. And that political power within African American culture. If these lights could go down, it'd really help. These two lights here. Thank you. The notion that I experienced of growing up in Philadelphia, and then also looking at photographs and studying here. As I mentioned earlier, that I also attended the library often as a young person. My sister and I often spending a lot of time in the public library. So this talk is about my research of visiting the library and then also looking at images. This also is a story that started in the 1890s that I was interested in talking about, but one of the most important images that I identified was in 1863. I thought it was really an important moment to include this in this story, that as I think about the notion of beauty. This is a runaway slave ad, and it says, "Ran away from the yard corner of Jackson and Broad Streets, Augusta, Georgia, on the morning, Tuesday, 7 April, 1863, a woman, Dolly, whose likeness is here seen. She's 30 years of age, light complexion, hesitates somewhat when spoken to, and is not a very healthy woman, but rather good-looking, with a fine set of teeth." So imagine, this is, as I read this, I thought about this experience of this owner, never changed her owner, and has been a house servant always. It is thought that she had been enticed off by some white man, being herself a stranger to the city and belonging to a Charleston family. For further notice, please apply to this police station in Augusta, Georgia, or a lawyer, Antoine Poulain in Augusta, Georgia. But this is Louis Manicault, owner of Dolly, who actually feels betrayed that Dolly has left him, possibly for another white man, that Dolly was the person who was possibly his concubine. But he had Dolly photographed often. We can see that she was in a photographer's studio. We can see that it was in a significant studio because we can see the back of the chair. That he cut her photograph in half to paste it on this piece of paper that circulated in Charleston and Augusta, Georgia, Columbia, South Carolina, and it circulated through the South. And the most important aspect of this, it happened after emancipation. So that this is a man who desired Dolly and searched for her during this time period. And as I began the research, I was interested in looking for a new kind of an archive that has been basically erased from our public memory, and an archive that actually tells multiple stories. And this is one story about a woman who was a mail order bride. And there were a number of black miners in the West and in San Francisco, as well as Montana, that traveled right after slavery, where black men were developing their lives with the westward migration, considering a life outside of slavery. That they often sent letters and published letters in church newspapers, as well as in the black press, black newspapers. So just imagine that women flocked to photography studios to tell their stories, to create their biography as they looked and searched for a new life outside of teaching or outside of cleaning homes, but looking at life as new at the westward movement. So here is a young woman posed for the studio, and just imagine a young miner receiving her photograph. Here are two sisters, and another one of my favorite images, that a student at Talladega College. Here she is posed, confident, She is fashionably dressed, and we see that she's sending a message directly to the viewer that she's beautiful, she's confident, she's educated. On the back, it actually describes what she's studying at the time. So we begin to see images that were made in the 1890s, within 30 years at the end of slavery, images seen in modern woman of turn of the century. Another type of image that was sent, part of that notion of mail order brides, women going to the studio, a Texas woman. That also in, this is in 1923, this is a Mardi Gras queen in Oakland, California. And here we see the winner. We began to see how studio photographers were used to document activities in communities, Easter Sunday as a way of documenting the notion of rebirth, how Easter Sunday was viewed at a time when, this is Russell Lee's photograph, at a time when black communities were going through a transformation. This is in New York, so we see a family on Sunday. We also see that club women were central to identifying their notion of beauty and community. That we can see the painted backdrop with the staircase, two images that were advertising images, that at this time a number of companies, hairdressing and facial, companies in terms of creating ways to improve skin because of many women, a number of women worked in the fields and the dry heat, the dust changed their skin and hair. So we can also see that just the imagination of the Nile Queen, just in terms of language and identity, transformed some of the people who were buying products to connect with Africa. We also know that Madam C.J. Walker was popular in 1906, that here she is posed with an ad advertising her new wares, and she was once a washerwoman. And the description of this, the photographer, the writer says that she's hiding her hands from the photographer, but she's showing her hair that she was able to grow as a result of the pomades that she created. She was concerned about women working in the fields, that women had to tie their hair and wear their hair in a certain way, that because women were losing their hair as a result of work and field work that they were experiencing, and that she was proof that she was the modern woman dressed with a fancy lace dress as well and the bodice, full bodice. And we see also that her hairstyle. So women were beginning to beauty begetting beauty, beauty emulating beauty. That. And also, this is an image, I want to go back to the other image, but I wanted to start with this image, National Types of Beauty, a series of 36 actual photographs. This is China. This is Miss Anna Mae Wong, an actress popular in the 20s. One of my former students sent me a set of these, 36, and was curious about the fact that there were no black African or African-American women in this notion of national types of beauty from around the world. He was curious about my interest in beauty and thought that it's a possibility that I wanted to do something about this. So it was really nice for me to see that students are listening to my work and want to support in some way. So I thought about this and read about how men would often purchase photographs, these actual photographs, and then here you can see here 50 real photographs as they smoked. They were placed in tobacco cards and tobacco packages, but also with cigarettes as well as tobacco, that men could equate looking at beauty and smoking as in terms of it as desire. So we can see this as a sense of equating desire. As you look at women, beautiful women, we can see that this pack has Josephine Baker. And here is another cinema star and from around the world. Also images that Ida B. Wells, a photograph of Ida B. Wells that I found really fascinating because she wrote to the black press saying that she was concerned indicating that she was concerned about the images of women and how they were perceived and accepted and degraded in the black press. And she felt that they needed to change. And the black press in Indianapolis newspaper said that Ada B. Wells is mistaken to think that she needs to equate beauty and intelligence. And so she challenged this notion that beauty and intelligence had to be looked at in a serious way. And she began to write about the experiences of a woman who also fought against the killing and brutality of communities, but also looked at the importance of beauty in her discussion. That also women who won awards, such as this photograph here is in Silhouette magazine, a rare magazine. If you ever have a chance to see it, please save it or send it to your local library for preservation. But we see Hattie McDaniels in her white fur coat, in her white, standing in front of her white baby grand, a woman who played, quote, Mammy, as you see on the cover for Gone with the Wind. But we see that she also understands the notion of how to retell her story and her beauty through style and fashion. Then, and also in 1913, W.E.B. Du Bois created the Crisis magazine as the editor, but he also created a beauty contest titled The Star of Ethiopia. And he invited people to send their photographs, and a number of people judged the quality of the photograph, the aspirations of the young sitters and the queens, and then often published the winner on the cover. This is also a significant image. This is a photograph that's entitled Desert Queen. And we see, this is Edward Curtis, who is known as a photographer who photographed Native Americans. This is photographed in 1900 in Seattle, Washington. Here we see a young woman who is desirous in terms of beauty, but also identified as a queen. Desert, mainly taking her outside of the city of Seattle, but connecting her with a notion of Africa. Also, that I thought it was really important to see fashion. This is a Frances Benjamin Johnston photograph. It's a deteriorated negative, but I thought that the image said so much about women in terms of a period, 1906, and they're attending the World's Fair. They're fashionable, they're wearing, they have their parasol and also their fancy hats. And so we see women on their way hanging out for a day, to women also who had desire of to be dancers and singers and performers. We see this young woman who is posed in front of a mirror, reflecting her beauty, looking and admiring, but also she has a powder brush, and so she is placing powder on her back. It's a very seductive way that she holds the wrap around her body. And then we can see the notion of fashion, the experience of fashion as we see her hairstyle. And this is the same time that King Tut's Tomb was open. And we also begin to see how it was important for artists and photographers and writers to document the experience and what they saw and what they experienced with the opening of the tomb. Some were hairstyles. And so they created hairstyles such as the Tut cut that was a part of a beginning of a style that we can see how beauty is seen through this experience of King Tut's tomb. There were women who were chorus line dancers. Then also I began to see images of men, and I found it really important to find images that talked about dandyism, that experience fashion with men. I wanted to also include images of everyday images, images of girls out playing, posing for the camera, to men stylish, men sharing a beer, wearing, their hats just so, concerned about look. Because at this time, I was just returned from Zurich, and some of the people in the audience asked, well, so I don't understand what, these images are foreign to me, because the only images we know of black men are lynched men, violence in black communities. So America to us is a violent, has a violent history when it comes to black culture. So they were shocked to see images of these men having a drink, seated, sharing the moment of a beer or a drink, and then with their hats and their shoes. We see they're stylish, they're making a point, and that they pose for the photographer. That a man with his car in Oakland, California, to Eudora Welty's photograph of three women walking down the street in Jackson, Mississippi. These are domestics. This is their day off. This is their moment where they, as they say, they drag the deuce. They're walking on Second Avenue, and so they walk up one side and down the next across the street. But they are under surveillance. You see young men looking at them as they walk the beat and just enjoy their fashion for the day. That photographer James Latimer Allen photographing Madonna and Child, creating a dialogue with beauty with Christ image, to an image of a woman that's called Harlemesque, as began to think about how to look at beauty and nudity in Harlem as a central way of identifying beauty, holding a cigarette, a holder, leaning back, and the reflection of beauty within that frame. Ouija, another photographer who's known for photographing violence, but here we can see that he's young girls at a concert with their pearls, to women who were dancers on part of the Blackbirds of London. We see them in London, and they're standing on the rooftop of the theater, different hairstyles, also different body types, but dancers, again, posing for the photographer. And this is a photograph here of the beach club, the Pacific Beach Club in outside of San Diego, California. This is a community of the four in the front are the winners, the beauty contest winners. We see a large community of blacks in the 1920s in California there to celebrate their own beach club and the beauty contest. As soon as this event happened, the beach club was burned by white racists in the community. And we see here, but this is a document, this photograph is a document of the support of the community of identifying beauty. Beauty was important because that at this time, most of the images that circulated were stereotyped or negative images of black subjects that were not seen as desirable or educated. Barbershops, this is an outside barbershop by Eisenstadt, and then here's Lewis Hine. And it was really important for me to find images of photographers, both black and white, that were images that basically were erased from their archive. Here we see a young woman in beauty school. We see also that the photographer is photographing in a way of creating beauty and focusing on the mirror image and reflecting the young, taller woman's image in the mirror. That cars, not only the experience of flesh beauty, but also growing up in Philadelphia, cars were a part of that sense of beauty, that the men in the community were so proud of their new cars that they often photographed them. So we don't know who the owner is, but I imagine it's the man leaning on the car, facing the camera. But we see the young boy in the car seated with a dreamlike experience. So how we begin to see how beauty is reflected in that. That a young woman is photographed in a studio in Columbia, South Carolina, with her earrings and her jewelry, and also photographed here with her apron and which image that she would desire, that she desires as the popular image for her family to preserve. I thought this would possibly be the image that she would want. I was corrected by someone who said, no, this is the image that she would want to preserve because she wants to show her family that she is working in a home, that she's not working in the fields, that we see this as a sense of desire in that way. Also, posing, you know, a woman posing with her fur coat to two young friends walking on Easter Sunday. You also see, in terms of style, this is a graduation day. This is Joe Lewis on Howard University's campus. And men in mirrors. Rarely we find images of men, you know, looking in the mirror. And I found it really just a wonderful pause for me to see this is a photograph of Robert McNeil. Range of images of dancers by Teenie Harris in the barbershop. And then just appreciating his car and his woman, you know, this kind of experience of this moment of posing for Teenie Harris. And Teenie Harris was also known as Teenie the Little Lover. And Teenie could stop anyone to make that one-shot photograph. And here we see that Teenie stops this waitress, but also that he's not interested in the... There's a little drama growing in this photograph. There's theater. We see a woman in her evening gown walking through. We also see shavings from the pencil sharpener. That we see this is a working place, it's an active place. This is the Crawford Avenue Grill in Pittsburgh. Easter Sunday, a young boy with his new suit. To another Easter Sunday, Russell Lee. And we also see how young boys are reflecting the experience of their fathers, the men in their community. They're emulating their style, their pose, and we can see the appreciation of the photographer documenting this moment with these young boys at the car. Easter Sunday, Chicago, outside of church. To Lena Horne, and this is a photograph by Teenie Harris. Another image where we see the importance of a leader, a singer, an important moment in the Blue Room, you know, behind the stage with a Western Union telegram on the side. That she was also an important figure in this community in terms of Black communities as well as in a larger community. That she was a pinup, that she was a pinup during World War II. And we see that she's posed here with the Tuskegee Airmen on Tuskegee's campus. And as a pinup, she was often experienced with asking for photographs. Both Black and white soldiers asked for her photograph. That this photograph, I found it was so important that when, in Charlie Fuller's soldier story, there was a photograph of Lena Horne also on the bunk of one of the soldiers. So in terms of that kind of detail of looking at real-life images, here on Easter Sunday in Harlem, a Black photographer is photographing a young man with his new suit. This is a photograph by Russell Lee. Just understanding that sense of importance in community. Cartier-Bresson, this is the brown-skinned models. This is one young woman, a 16-year-old model, who's walking by, that the photographer is captivated not only by her beauty and fashion, that he also recognizes the young man behind her who is also appreciating her beauty. Ouija's photograph, a man in his top hat, Easter Sunday. Two images are just a wonderful floral print. To this image here, and in terms of range of stories, this is Zora Neale Hurston. It's a photograph by Carl Van Vechten. And she writes to Carl Van Vechten to say, when she receives a number of photographs, she says that, "I like myself when I'm looking mean and impressive." So here we see a person. This is the first time that I'm actually reading where women and men are accepting the image and having a response to some of the photographs. Camera girls, women worked in clubs and made photographs of people who attended. And Walker Evans photographed 42nd Street, a woman in her fur coat. And style, 40s. We can see a man with his cigarette holder and then also reflecting his own beauty within the photographs on the side. This is also Cartier-Bresson, brown-skinned models. And another image that's just stopped me in my research. This is two women, and it's titled Two Young Girls, Dixie Belles, Teenagers in Louisiana. And this is a period when Black women and men, children could not look in the eyes of white men or women in the communities in the South. And so here we see two very stylish young girls, their hats just so in terms of the way they have it tilted, cocked, and then wearing their jewelry, but looking directly and defiantly in the photographer's eye. The photographer also understood their beauty and recognized their beauty. His name is Fontel Winans. This is in terms of dualities. I just noticed things as I research here, like two women in Harlem, two women in Louisiana, two women in Washington Square Park in the 60s. Begin to see how beauty, in terms of reflecting beauty in this sense, that this image of John Mosley's photograph here that's in Philadelphia with Billy Eckstein and Billie Holiday, but we're known for the image, Billie Holiday is known for her image of the flower in her hair. The photographer is able to capture it and the appreciation of the two, understanding their beauty and style. And this photograph here by Eve Arnold, just a wonderful moment, not pose, but she's able to see the beauty of a strong figure, but also his sense of fashion and style with the way that he kind of tilts his hat as he is in thought, that he's wearing a fashionable watch, and then also wearing his religion on his finger, you know, just keeping that ever present. And also Bob Edelman's photograph here of Rosa Parks. And we see Rosa Parks in 1963 at the March on Washington, and that she is wearing her pearls, her lace gloves. We begin to think about reading the experience of women who attended the march, that women were silenced at the march, that women were prepared to speak, but many were asked not to speak. But we see that here, this is a woman who possibly, if she was asked to speak, she was ready. And you can see by the way that she's dressed. We also see debutante balls, that here is posing Eve Arnold. And as we begin to see Muhammad Ali, who understood beauty, he often said, "Ain't I beautiful? Aren't I pretty?" You know, and then he is posing in that sense. One of my other favorites is, this is by Bruce Davidson, you know, Venice Beach. We see, you know, a black man in his underwear posing, you know, with his muscles. And we see an older, middle-aged woman, you know, with a brownie photographing him. And I just find her husband in the backdrop just helpless, you know, hands in pocket, you know, just kind of creating this dialogue is just so beautiful, you know. But we begin to see how important it is to recognize the beauty within ways of Muscle Beach contest in Venice Beach, to Carnegie Hall, to image of Angela Davis, a significant figure who often talked about the importance of hair, and everyone talked about wearing the Angela Davis afro, and she felt that she was reflecting what the community was experiencing with her hair. Just a wonderful, as I hear you, just kind of that moment. This is what happened to me when I saw this image of James Baldwin, that James Baldwin also understood his beauty in his words. We never heard people talk about his beauty in any public way, but this photographer was able to capture this in this quiet moment as he smokes and then he's in a reflective pose. Huey Newton. You know, here we see, you know, this body type that people followed, young people followed and believed in the dream of the Black Panther Party, but also that, you know, his music. But we also see intellect. We see books by, you know, within the frame. This is a photograph by Stephen Shamus. And so we see the importance of how Huey Newton felt about his own body, but also as a leader. Also, Mary McCabe. When I was growing up, you know, Ed Sullivan, I saw her on the Ed Sullivan show. She was significant to me as a woman who wore hair in a natural hairstyle, close cropped, understood her sensuality, her sexuality, and her beauty. And just a way of, you know, some of the pictures for me in the book are highly personal because it helped transform my understanding of beauty. this is Jamal Shabazz, just three young girls, you know, Catherine, you know, just in the backdrop. And then they pose for the photographer. In a beauty shop, Eli Reed, just beautiful light, and to Mary Lou Williams, just seated in her apartment with her parakeet. Significant also, some of my students said, well, where are the older people in your photographs, you know, and the experience of beauty? And I said, I have a few, you know, don't worry about that. And I found this Wendell White image of a woman in New Jersey, just understanding her space, her doilies, her art on the wall, and just the way she has her arm placed on the back of the sofa, that she understands her sense of presence and the beauty in her home. The Carrie Mae Weems, it's the portrait that she created, says, I looked and wondered what terrified you. So here she is reflecting and thinking about the experience of the historical over 300, 200 years of images that reflected negative images of black men and women, and as she looks in the mirror and asks the question. Jeffrey Scales, a man in plaid pants, to Denzel Washington, Jeffrey Scales. This is work by Bobby Sinstack, and it's called Brothers in the Hood, and this is in Chicago. Jamal Shabazz, this is called Back in the Days, A Time Before Crack, where crack destroyed communities. We see a young man just posing with his Adidas. He says, just take a picture of my new Adidas, you know, and he just makes this fantastic pose, and that's what he wanted to focus on. Just a couple on the Lower East Side. And then also women who are documenting the experience of lesbian beauty. This is Lola Flash, and this is a woman on London Bridge wearing a New York City T-shirt. And another woman who is standing on a rooftop in New York City. This is a work by Micheline Thomas. And Micheline Thomas is looking, it's called Sister, Sister Blue, looking at the 70s as a reflective experience, thinking about how growing up during that time period where women understood their beauty through hair, through fashion, and music. Bayate Ross Smith, this is prom night. This is first time becoming adults. This is what he entitles. Heidi, Heidi Ho, prom night. And Aretha Franklin, wonderful image by Friedlander. To Eve Arnold's photograph, here this is an intervention where a black woman and a white woman are looking in the mirror and they're preparing to meet. To talk about race, and we see both of them looking in the mirror, understanding and appreciating their beauty. Bobby Sinstack's photograph of James Brown and Muhammad Ali, just also as they look at each other and see their beauty outside the people around the side of the Bud Billigan Day Parade, just not even important to this moment. Also musicians and the experience of Jimi Hendrix with style and the fact that he has this kind of bubble image of his likeness in on stage. To Isaac Hayes, and this is Ernest Withers' photograph, you know, fashion and style point in this period of the 70s where fashion became a storytelling moment where the people, men and women in the community, understood it and flaunted it and it also created a way of telling their experience of style through their notion of black style and community. This is a photograph, Stokely Carmichael, by Leroy Henderson. And as leaders spoke and lectured, they also were also concerned about their image. This is Ken Ramsey's photograph of the cover image. This is Susan Taylor, who's known for Essence magazine. Here she is posed in 1974 wearing the large hoop earrings, the same type of hoop earrings that we see with the image in 1900. So we see this kind of repeating image. John Lee Hooker. You know, just one moment, understanding what the camera transforms this look. naming Marvelous Marvin, you know, just kind of that moment here. Anthony Barboza's photograph with life imitating art. And here we see two couples walking down the street, and we can see the movies of that time period creating this style. Ife Asalam, and Ife is also experiencing looking at movies like Coffee, that women during that time period had to wear certain styles to create a moment of beauty, but also to clean up their communities. And so she's making self-portraits. To a young woman wearing an Afro wig on St. Patrick's Day. And then I'm going to end with this last image here. And this is an image, and this is by Petruska Basin. And Petruska's looking at how women are dressing at nightclubs and creating where this whole sense of surveillance, where men are following women around. And we can see here there is a camcorder reflection here that her beauty is captivated, that it needs to be documented and recorded. So I'd like to just kind of open up for questions, but just to experience this research focused on, and hopefully you'll able to purchase the books, but it's a way of telling a story that reflects beauty in a broader sense from the 1890s to now. And if you have a question, it'd be great for you to speak into the mic. Thank you.
Good evening.
Hi.
I have a question, and I'm not sure.
Could you say your name also?
Sure. My name is Valerie Adams, and okay. I'm a doctoral student. My dissertation is actually looking at media images and black identity. So I'm hoping, I've been doing a couple focus groups with young people, both male and female adolescents, and I was hoping you might be able to speak a little bit to these images and how you contextualize these images for young people who are seeing images of blackness, if you will, globally, and what that means in terms of their style of dress, maybe their own body image and identity as black people?
It's a long question. Right, well, this is an image here, the Sheila Pre Bright. As I talk to young people often about images, that they're affected by Barbie images and believing the believability of Barbie. And this is Sheila Pre Bright, who's actually merging real life images to images of desire and distorted images. And we can begin to see how Barbie has distorted the sense of beauty within different communities. And so I'm often going through that experience with young people to talk about how to tell a story outside of media images, that we all know that advertising has a big effect and large effect on most of us. And so we just kind of constantly talk to young people about that experience. So I look forward to reading your work so that we can begin to incorporate some of the things that you're doing in that sense of talking to young people. And one, as I traveled, as I mentioned, around in different countries, that most of the media images that people see of black people are distorted. And so it's not just young people. It's worldwide. And that's something that this book, I'm hoping, will begin to open up another way of reading images. And there's a question there.
Hi, I'm Sophie Sanders, and also a doctoral student. I guess drooling over all the images. They're so amazing and inspiring. I was hoping you could talk a little bit about the Black is Beautiful movement and how that transformation has had, even to this day, such a long impact. And also, I'm curious how you would differentiate between artists celebrating their own beauty, black artists looking at the body, versus artists of other races or ethnicities, you know, whatever ethnicity the artist is, in terms of this idea of exoticism and the body, because I feel like when artists are documenting their own beauty or sisters and brothers, it's a different impulse than someone of another culture saying, oh, that's, you're such a beautiful person, I want to take a photograph of you. So how do you deal with those different impulses and this idea of exoticization of oneself or feeling proud of one's beauty?
I think that it's mainly the intent of the image. You know, I'm not looking at, I think that there are, we can also exoticize ourselves. So that's something that it's not just, you know, them, others, and it's reflective in that experience. So I'm interested in looking at my work basically reflects on the interests of younger artists who are looking at, like Biate Ross Smith, are looking at those three young girls. They're exoticizing themselves based on the images of hip-hop culture. And they see that. So that's a sense of exoticism. We can look at Carrie Mae Weems, who's also looking and reflecting on the experience of beauty by wandering through the historical images of that sense of how women and blacks have been photographed over the years. So my work is looking at the range of images from black photographers, white photographers, and artists who are just interested in exploring the experience of beauty. But this is an archive that is a created archive through my vision. And it's mainly because I believe a lot of these images were lost in terms of the larger history of photography. And when some of the photographers who are known in this book, rarely will we find the white photographers, will we find images of their black subjects in their books. And so what I wanted to do with this book was just kind of open up a new discussion about it. And I have the black experience, the Black is Beautiful movement, in terms of it was a political movement and understanding how refuting the past through the stereotyped images. And it was really a way that recreating it today, and if we can do the same with young people to remind them of their beauty. There was a 16-year-old who attended my talk and said that she had never experienced any of the images or never questioned, and she was so moved that she says, I want people to know about this book, people of my generation, and we need to spread the word because we need to see a range of images. And so what I'm doing, and I'm hoping that it comes across, is just to begin to expand on ideas about it. And with two doctoral students in this discussion, I'm hoping that your books will really help transform all of this. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a podcast from the Free Library's Author Event Series. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information is available at freelibrary.org.